Hey folks, you're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie and Chief Todd LeDuc, episode 99.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Okay, for this episode of the LifeScan Learning Lab edition, I'm going to kick it over to my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc. But before I do, I just have to let you know this sounds like it's going to be a great one, because this is one that hits home. We're talking about food here, and probably some really good tasting food. So with that, Todd, let me kick it over to you. Introduce our guest.
Thanks, Donnie. I appreciate it. Yeah, you're right. We're going to be talking about food, lots of good food, and we're taping this right around the holidays. So when you hear this, if we missed you for the holidays, we hope you had a great holiday season and safe and time with family. But I'm thrilled today to have a colleague and a friend on and want to talk about the great work that he's doing. Jonathan Tate is our guest today. And, you know, I had, I guess this was pre-COVID, Jonathan, probably going back to 2018, 2019, had the fortune to meet Jonathan at the Congressional Fire Service Caucus up on the Hill in DC. And we started talking about kind of the work we were both doing. Jonathan's doing some great work in the fire service on the health front, and kind of tied into, piqued my interest being so many years as a board member on IFC, Safety, Health, and Survival Board, and then now in my role with LifeScan. So let me say welcome to Jonathan, and thank you for coming on. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me, Chief. Thank you, Dr. Donnie. I appreciate it. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. Always privileged to share what we're doing to help firefighters and the work that they're doing. We want to celebrate them. They have been on the front lines even prior to the pandemic. So I'm grateful to be here today to discuss that and how we can continue to serve them.
Well, fantastic. And let's jump right in. And every episode, I kind of start by reminding folks what Donnie reminds me is that, believe it or not, we've got listeners from across not only the United States, but across the globe. The great thing about social media and podcasts is the reach. So why don't you?
Hey, we may give Jonathan some ideas here about some international cuisine.
I can't wait. I love it. Jonathan, why don't you just talk a little bit for our listeners about your journey, how you're with DC Fire, but tell us how you get into the fire service and follow that calling. And then talk a little bit about how you founded. Well, let's start with that, and then we'll talk about the foundation from there.
Cool. So I'm a second generation firefighter. Again, my name is Jonathan Tate, DC firefighter, founder of Food on the Stove. I'm a second generation firefighter. My father retired from DCFD in 1989. He worked from 1956 to 1989, retired at the rank of deputy fire chief, and at the apparatus division. So I grew up around the fire service, seeing people in the fire service, firefighters my whole life. My father was the coordinator of the DC Fire Department parade here in DC. So my brother and I used to be in the fire department parade, ride on the fire truck. So I just grew up around it. But unfortunately, my father passed away 9 years after he retired, after having multiple heart attacks and cancer. And I became a firefighter 9 years ago. And when I saw how firefighters were eating in the firehouse, I wanted to do something to change that. So I started an organization called Food on the Stove. And what Food on the Stove does is it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And we provide tools and resources to help firefighters live a healthier lifestyle through enhanced nutrition and exercise. And the reason that's so important is, you know, that one of the leading causes of death amongst firefighter line of duty deaths are heart attacks. And there are studies that show that the life expectancy for firefighters is 10 to 15 years less than every other employee in America. And we're the only occupation that cooks all three meals while at work. So while there's a lot of good meals, we know that they're not necessarily good for you, right? So what Food on the Stove does is we want to help firefighters be more proactive about their health by focusing on the education, but also putting healthier meals on firehouse tables. And we've been doing that for the last 5 years. God gave me a vision and I just took off running with it.
Yeah, no, great, great stuff. And I think you and I have talked. I mean, one of the, and I know we just had Chief Don Lake, the fire chief, go through LifeScan over at Arlington Fire. But, you know, one of the things we see when we do annual physicals is, you know, sometimes the end product of that not so healthy diet, you know, whether that's cholesterol, whether that's, you know, actually coronary issues within the coronary vessels. So you kind of, you're going right to that root cause, right? Trying to change. So we have actually the prevention instead of, you know, trying to find early disease. But, you know, Dr. Janke, Sarah Janke's done a lot of work on, and I think we just have to be honest about it. I mean, her research shows that the fire service is more obese than the general population. Right. And there's probably lots of reasons for it. Shift work, sleep issues, stress, cortisol, and the list goes on and on. But why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, how Food on the Stove was developed and how it actually works, because I think that's important for our listeners to understand. You've got a ton of partners that you've built. You've got a network, but how does for departments that are out there listening and maybe thinking, how could we do this in our department and make an impact? Talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts, the mechanics.
It's interesting that you discuss, you know, there's so many things that we can't control in the fire service as far as being firefighters. And what I shared with you before was that Food on the Stove was birthed out of seeing my father struggle 9 years after he retired. Six of those years, he really struggled. Multiple heart attacks, three heart attacks, triple bypass surgery, and then cancer. And I saw the strongest man that I knew become the weakest man that I knew. And that was tough for me to see, because all of us as firefighters, we want to get to our pension. We look forward to that pension. We work 25 to 30 years. But what we don't realize is, in order for you to enjoy that pension, you have to be here. Right. And what happened was, just to give you a little background of how Food on the Soul was birthed. My father retired at deputy fire chief pay with 80% of his pay. When he passed away, my mom got 40% because they cut it in half for your pension. But my mom is 18 years younger than my dad. So for every year younger, it was 1%. So we went from an 80% lifestyle to a 22% lifestyle. Now, had my father known that he would have been so sick, he would have invested just as much in his health as he did into his retirement and his 457 plan. I would have to believe that, because he loved his family and he loved his kids. Nobody expects to die early. But so seeing that, what we wanted to do is we wanted to firefighters to control the controllable. You can't control sleep deprivation. You can't control hazardous environments. You can't control the stress of the job. You can manage it. So the best way to combat heart disease and other ailments are through diet and exercise. And I'll tell people all the time, Food on the Stove was started by a 15-year-old kid. It was me, 15 years old, who saw my father struggle. So out of the need of wanting my father still there, I'm fighting for firefighters, not only firefighters, but their families as well, because I know the effects that you leaving can have. So what we've done is we've developed a program. I simply started Food on the Stove by, I would work overtime, I would take my overtime money, and I would buy food for firehouses. Didn't make sense to a lot of people, but like I said, God gave me this huge vision of how to serve those who serve us every day. So I would go to the farmer's market and I would take that money. I bought the first firehouse I went to, I bought six grass-fed steaks, six sweet potatoes, and broccolini. And I took it to a firehouse, and they said, why are you bringing us food? And I said, well, I want you all to eat healthy. It's a program I'm starting called Food on the Stove. And of course, we know Food on the Stove is actually a double entendre. It's the number one way that structure fires start due to food being left on the stove unattended. So I took that name that we hear, or that phrase that firefighters hear on a daily basis, and say, hey, let's pay more attention to the food that's on our stove that's ultimately killing us. And so it was something that resonated with firefighters, and they heard that message, and I just wanted to serve them. So I would work the overtime, take the food to the firehouse. The first time I went, I had a chef come. Well, I was supposed to have a chef come, a nutritionist, and a cameraman. Everybody canceled on me. And that would have been the prime opportunity to quit. But once again, I'll highlight the fact that God gave me a bigger vision. He showed me the ending from the beginning. That way I won't quit, because I had this big vision in my mind of how we were going to impact the fire service as a whole. So I did that, and I said, okay, well, I'll take the food anyway, but I'll try again next month. And we tried again next month, and boom, the nutritionist came, the chef came, and we were able to serve firefighters that day. And in response, I never asked for a donation, but in response, they said, hey, well, let us donate something to you. And I said, well, we're not really looking for any money, but if you want to donate, you choose the next firehouse. It just can't be on your shift or in your battalion. So then we created this culture of giving, where firefighters were giving to firefighters in a whole nother part of the city. And we would come and we would prepare that meal and say, hey, this is from Engine 11, Truck 6, or this is from Engine 15, Squad 3. And it just created and fostered that brotherhood even more that we had, that brotherhood and that sisterhood that we have in the fire service even more. So fast forward to the pandemic, we were no longer to bring chefs to the firehouse. And this is where Food on the Stove really grew. What ended up happening was that due to grocery limitations on food that you can buy for the grocery store, firefighters were having a difficult time purchasing food from the grocery store. So what we found is like, how are firefighters going to eat on a daily basis? And how are you going to eat or feed a firehouse of 15 people when you can only buy two packs of chicken? So immediately we wanted to jump into action. So what Food on the Stove did is we partnered with 28 different restaurants to feed firefighters for a year and a half at the height of the pandemic. So we had everybody from Ruth Chris, Chick-fil-A, local mom and pop shops that walked alongside of us. Some donated food, some we purchased food for, and we were able to feed firefighters on a daily basis. At that moment, the health message wasn't as important as making sure that those who were working on the front lines, their immediate needs were being met. So we kind of put our health message, because some of those restaurants don't necessarily align with our message. But what was important was that we were able to meet a need at the moment they needed. And I think people are more receptive to hear your message when they know that you actually care about them. And that's what we were able to do. So out of that was birthed our Farm to Firehouse program, which is our flagship program now. Have you all ever heard of Blue Apron or HelloFresh? Dr. Donnie, you heard of Blue Apron or HelloFresh?
Yes, I have. So cooked many dinners with my wife here in the kitchen.
Yeah, right. So Sun Basket. So I was a client of theirs as well. I've tried them all: Sun Basket, HelloFresh, Blue Apron. When you get tired of cooking the same thing all the time, you kind of try to get creative. And they've developed this program or this meal delivery service that were going to houses, but there was one house that they forgot about, and that was the firehouse. So that's where Food on the Stove stepped in. So we took that model that those companies had created, and we developed Farm to Firehouse. And for every $10 we raised, it goes to the protein, produce, and packaging of the meal. And our first recipe was Peruvian chicken, roasted sweet potatoes, and coleslaw. 640-calorie meal. We portioned it out because we know one of the biggest things in the firehouse dinner table is overeating. So we don't want to promote overeating, but we want to promote portion control. So we developed that menu, we packaged up all the ingredients, and we were able to deliver it to every firehouse in DC and feed over 2,000 members. That program was initially funded by Giant Food, which we are super grateful for their partnership and what they were able to do. So they donated $20,000. Then we had United Healthcare come on board. We had Verizon come on board. And as of late, we've had Amazon Web Services come on board. And what we showed Amazon Web Services is to expand this program, not to just DC firefighters, but to the fire service as a whole. We developed an app that now allows firehouses to order the mailboxes and we deliver it directly to their firehouse. So during the beta testing, what will happen is they will upload their staffing into our app. We know exactly how many people are in each firehouse, or the staffing of each firehouse will buffer for an extra 3 meals in case for a door watcher, overtime body, or just an extra person there. And we now have 3 recipes, flank steak, Peruvian chicken, and a honey glazed salmon recipe. They'll order through our app, we'll package it all up, and we'll deliver it to the firehouse.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's I think you even told me you're working on a Christmas dinner, was that, with a little filet and lobster tail? Is that,
yeah, so
did I hear that right?
Yeah, you did. So we're working with Alexandria Fire Department Chief Corey Smetley. We every year for the last 3 years, we do our firehouse turkey drive, in which on Thanksgiving Day, we started 3 years ago, and we delivered turkeys to every firehouse, farm fresh turkeys to every firehouse in DC. But I wanted to grow it, and every year we want to do more. So the next year we decided to add not just DC, but Prince George's County, Arlington, and Alexandria. So that's a total of 96 firehouses. So we delivered to 96 firehouses the second year. And then this year we delivered to 96 firehouses again, but we also packaged up 2 side recipes that were given to us by Giant Food and all the ingredients needed to make 2 side recipes along with the turkey. And we want this program to continue to grow. And we'll find out ways to be creative. It's simply just an opportunity to serve those who serve us every day. And we want firefighters to know not just that, that we want them to know that we see them, that we appreciate their hard work. We want them to be healthy, but we also want them to know that we're here to serve you as well as you serve everybody else.
At, you know, talk about moving the dial, right? And unfortunately, you know, you mentioned, you know, cardiac disease and that being a driving reason for your passion. If you think about it though, it really the big picture, you know, diabetes, hypertension, you know, there's evidence out there, even, you know, visceral obesity linked to certain cancers. So we know that we've got to do a better job taking care of our folks in the stations. You know, health and wellness programs, annual physicals are a huge component of that. But education, right? I mean, I'm sure like you, when I went through recruit training, we didn't spend a lot of time on eating healthy and nutrition. Just that wasn't part of, you know, what we were trained on. So, Jonathan, for our listeners, what's a good way for them to be able to learn more or do a deeper dive if they're interested? I'm sure you're going to have departments that hear this and say, I want to try to do something similar in my department. What's the best way to either contact you or to learn more about Food on the Stove?
So you can, we're on Instagram, Food on the Stove DC. We're on Twitter, Food on the Stove _. We're on Facebook, Food on the Stove. You can go to our website where we produce a ton of content. It's foodonthestove.org. And what I will say, if there are any departments listening, it's also all too often we can focus on training when we have a death on the fire ground, because it's easy to address the mistakes that were made, right? And there's no expectation that the fire department is supposed to become health and wellness specialists, but that's what we're here for. We want to be that resource. We know that you cannot outwork a bad diet. So we don't care how much you work out, how much you train, what you put in your body will ultimately have a either a positive or negative effect on you. And we need, as a country, not just as firefighters, to see food as fuel. One of the things I often ask firefighters is, if I gave you a Lamborghini and asked you to take it to the gas station, what type of fuel would you put in it? And the response is always the best, 93 octane. And I ask them why, and they say, because I wanted to run properly. I wanted to run at an optimal level. And I ask them, well, why don't you treat your body the same way? Because your body is a vehicle. Food is meant to be fuel. It's meant to you for you to take the nutrients and eliminate the waste. But what happens if you put food in your trash can and never take it out? it starts to rot, it starts to spoil, it starts to smell, right? And we're not eating enough of the good things that are helping us to eliminate the waste. So what happens is these 16-ounce steaks that we're eating are sitting in pockets in our intestines and never eliminating it because we're not eating the leafy greens that are going to help us digest this food. And that's where disease begins to come into play. And we don't get to enjoy our retirement. And I often ask them as well, do you want you saving you? I heard Dr. Sarah Jenkins, I'm always amazed at the work she's doing. And she said she heard a quote from somebody says, I don't want your risk factors becoming my risk. Right? Because on the fire ground, you're either going to be an asset or a liability. And I just did a speaking engagement in Orlando where I saw you, and we talked about firefighters being athletes and how athletes, the average career for an athlete is 5 to 8 years. But for firefighters, and the age range is 26 to 29. For firefighters, it's 50, and we have to work 29 years, right? It's 30 to 49, and we have to work 25 to 30 years for retirement, right? And we're putting a lot of stress on our bodies. So we want to make sure that we're being proactive, we're doing the right thing so that you can perform at an optimal level. And Food on the Stove wants to help with that.
You know, guys, I think there could be some interesting studies. I don't know if there are any out there or not, but last week I was in Marin County, California, which is north of San Francisco it's just beautiful area. Now, the firefighters that I trained all the firefighters in Marin County, you know, we cycled through the week. Their fire season, which is no longer called summer, it's called fire season because it extends past summer. But, you know, these guys go out for 3 weeks at a time. And I learned a lot about it in my very first workshop last week. I did 6 of half-day workshops and Jonathan, what I do is I do it on work-life balance and basically self-care. Essentially, physical health is a big piece, diet, exercise, sleep, all that, mental health, spiritual health, and social health. And how that contributes to work-life balance. That's where my research in my PhD has been. But while I'm in this room with about 25 firefighters, and I look around, I'm going, something's different. And I'm looking and I'm going, these guys are all in shape. I mean, they were in shape. And I addressed that with them. I said, hey, I just, you know, read an article that, you know, I know the research when firefighting in America, we have 80% are overweight and obese. 8 out of 10. And I have 25 people that were from physically just looking at them, right? Mm-hmm. They're fit. And I asked them, I said, what's going on? And they're going, 2 things. We eat pretty healthy as a fire department, you know, especially out in California, all the vegetables, fruits, and everything's right there. And it's just a healthier trend of eating anywhere you go in that area. And they go, but the other thing is that, you know, we have to be in shape. We go 3 weeks at a time, we rotate in for 3 weeks. You work your 24-hour shifts, you know, up a mountain, down a mountain, you know, digging, doing trenching, doing everything you do in a wildfire. Then when you come back to the county, you're running your regular shift for a while, and then you're rotating back for another 3 weeks. It's like, you know, you've got to be in shape. And then I asked them this question. I said, what kind of line of duty injuries and deaths are you having, you know, or deaths, you know, after retirement, the cancers, the heart attacks and things like that. And I said, have you had any cancers? I asked a couple different classes. They could not think of anyone. How many of you, you know, that are listening can say, hey, I don't know a firefighter that hasn't had cancer, you know? So it was a real eye opener that, wow, you know, there could be pockets of, and I think Marin County is one that, hey, these guys, I think they're doing something right. They take that physical health, exercise, and diet. It's very important to them. Just wanted to toss that out to you, get your thoughts on it.
That's a great shout out to our brothers and sisters out in Marin County. I mean, you know, when we're doing it right, that's survival. right? So we want to make sure that that's replicated all over the country.
I think, hey, Jonathan, go ahead, please. One of the things, just to piggyback on what Dr. Donnie said, is one of the things that, can you hear me?
Yes.
One of the things that you said, what I hear you say, that is they developed a culture, mm-hmm. a culture of health and wellness there. And that's what so many fire departments have. We have a ton of traditions, but the culture of eating in the firehouse is, in America, we use food for different things, for celebration. And it's, when you talk about self-care, the way a lot of us look at self-care is by going to eat the wrong things, right? Because that's how we're caring for ourselves. When we're down, it's like, well,
That's that mental health care.
I need to make myself feel good. But the only way we know to make ourselves feel good is by eating the wrong things, right? Not by feeling good, but tasting something that's good. And we always promote everything in moderation. We don't approach the health and wellness stands from saying, hey, don't eat this, don't eat that. We want you to eat the things, but be mindful of what you're eating. And know that with every bite of food, you're either starving disease or you're feeding disease. And we want to make sure that you're creating an environment inside of your body where disease does not want to live. But we also know that it takes a certain type of person to be a firefighter. And we don't want to throw them off by saying, hey, you need to eat this and you need to eat that, because they've heard that message before. Everybody hears that message. I think we have so many health and wellness resources accessible to us now via the internet or via guest speakers. But we want to make sure that we're giving them that, but also giving them that resource and exposing them to some of these things, these healthier options that are out there. And I think that will help develop that culture that we need to see in the fire service.
That's spot on. It's changing, right? From when I got in 34 years ago, and I'm sure even you're 9 years in the job, the work that you're doing, but you look around, right? I mean, if you'd ever think that you'd have a speaker at a conference on healthy eating,
probably get booed off the stage.
Exactly.
Well,
if anyone showed up.
Right. Guys, I'll tell you, I have gone to a health and wellness conference that is physically close to me. Okay. It's a health and wellness conference. And I mean, they do wonderful work and have wonderful speakers in. But I was surprised when you go in the morning. I wasn't surprised by the coffee. But what do you think were there?
I know what you're going to say.
It's full of donuts.
Beautiful glazed donuts.
Full of donuts, you know? Now, one thing, talking about that culture of wellness, Jonathan, out at Marin County, you know, we had snacks all throughout the day. You know what they were? They were pecans, cashews, almonds, every nut you could think of, you had it there, as well as waters, you know, the fizzy water or LaCroix, you know, but just waters, no sodas, no sugars. No, there wasn't anything sugary available. And that's another piece I know about that culture of wellness, too, is that, you know, if we can start thinking about, hey, how do we replace some of these snacks with healthier snacks?
Indeed.
I think it's a good way to go, too, you know.
Indeed. We're feeding people. When we do our Local Food for Local Heroes program, we had the chef come and prepare quinoa. And people were like, what is this? And we prepared it in such a way that they were like, oh, this is pretty good. How do I make this? Or we'll do couscous, different type of grains other than the same white rice that you eat all the time. Or we're doing fresh vegetables as opposed to canned vegetables that have a ton of sodium. Because one thing I like to say as well is that, you know, we look out for our brothers and our sisters on the fire ground. We have to do the same within the firehouse at the kitchen. It doesn't behoove me to make my brother or sister a hamburger or something with a lot of sodium in it, if I know they're struggling with cholesterol or high blood pressure. We need to be accommodating and care about that person, not just when they're laid up in the hospital, but prior to them, and saying, hey, look, you might can eat that at home, but while we're here, I'm looking out for you because I know what you're struggling with. If that person is willing to share that struggle with you.
Yeah.
Good. Great spot on, good stuff, and a lot of resources for people to be thinking about. You know, I can't help but you mentioned the tactical athlete, the sports analogy, right? So I know probably people are either going to love this or hate this, but it is what it is. It evokes, you know, one of the folks I look at, Tom Brady. Think about, you know, one of the GOAT, greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, here's 44, 45 years old and still many would say on top of his game. But if you think, if any of you, you know, have read TB12, he knows and works with a nutritionist what he's going to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner a year from now. It's that regimented, it's that plotted, and it's all based on performance and being able to perform at that high levels. And I think, Jonathan, you actually mentioned it, or I read it recently. You know, the difference between an athlete and a firefighter or law enforcement is, you know, they're playing a game. We're playing for survival, not just for the folks we serve, but for our own survival and each other. So another great resource. I'd be remiss if I also didn't mention, Jonathan, I'm sure you know Dr. Stefanos Kales out of Harvard University. Stefanos has done a tremendous amount of work on cardiovascular in firefighters, and he has a resource out there, Feeding America's Bravest, as well. It's a website. And it looked at the Mediterranean diet and kind of following the staples of the Mediterranean diet and how that affects health and performance. And he's done some research around that, but that kind of leads me to, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, Donnie talked about Marin and kind of the culture they've created. Stefanos has done AFG funded work regarding Mediterranean diet staples, and your action. I'm pretty excited about this, not only because I get to work with great people like yourself and Dr. Janke and others, but you're actually working on a small study, which LifeScan Wellness Centers is thrilled to play a small role in partnering. But tell us a little bit about, because I think the results are going to be dramatic in terms of the impact that you are making and that we as a fire service can continue to make. So tell us a little bit about the study that you have kicking off in 2022.
Well, first off, thanks LifeScan Wellness for being willing to partner with us to and being committed to the health and wellness of the fire service. We're extremely grateful when we find partners that are willing to help us make a difference. All too often you find people who are saying, what is in it for me? And what's in it for us is a healthier fire service, because everybody doesn't have the luxury of having an engine or a fire truck responding to them within 8 to 10 minutes. In some counties, you have 30 minutes. And if people or volunteers don't want to continue to join the fire service, somebody's mom, grandma might not get the proper care that they need. So we thank LifeScan Wellness for committing to the health and wellness of the fire service. But the study that we're doing is we're taking five firefighters in the Washington, D.C. area. And what we're doing is we're doing their blood work, thanks to LifeScan, at the beginning and at the end of this program for 30 days. So for 30 days, we provide the firefighters 3 meals a day to see if food has had any impact, positive or negative. I'm sure positive, on their health and wellness. So we'll do their blood work. We'll do a survey at the beginning, check if they have any dietary restrictions. This study is being led by Dr. Michelle Johnson, and then Dr. Sarah Janke and Brittany Hollaback will be helping us. Dr. Brittany Hollaback will be helping us apply for a grant to continue the study going. So again, once again, we provide 3 meals a day for 30 days. And then we'll do their blood work at the end. What we're also doing is we're providing a remote patient monitoring pack for each member, which will be a scale, a glucometer, and a blood pressure cuff. They are to log in every day. We'll collect the data and see how food is having that impact over the weeks that they're doing it. The whole basis of this study, which what we want to do is, whenever a member is placed off of duty due to health concerns, whether it's high blood pressure, A1C levels, cholesterol, they can voluntarily enter our program, and Food on the Stove will provide 3 meals a day for 30 days free of charge to that member in your department. And what we see happening is, as it stands right now, most departments don't have a program to get the member back. It's just when your levels come down, you return back to work with no real basis of how to get your levels down. So what we want to do is give them the coaching, give them the tools, give them the food that's going to help get that member back to work. If it's normally 45 days, we want to get them back in 20 days, 25 days, and also return to that department a healthier worker on a faster track to a healthier lifestyle, knowing that healthier food doesn't have to taste bad. It can taste great. And potentially now we see weight loss. We see this person's A1C levels coming down. Their blood pressure has leveled out. And now we've got a healthier member, which will ultimately lower premiums, which will ultimately save the department money because you don't have to now backfill that position with the overtime body. So it's something that we would like to offer around the country. And I think by starting out with this, these five firefighters, if we see the difference, it's something that we'll like to work with departments with to provide that resource to them.
Well, I know Donnie's heard me say it probably ad nauseum. I think I probably say it every taping, but you know, we wouldn't think of not maintaining our apparatus, right? We wouldn't put people in an apparatus with no brakes, no seatbelts, you know, no windshield wipers. And it's at, you know, for the departments out there that are listening, you touched on it, for the insurance carriers that are listening. This is a no-brainer, right? What we put inside our bodies directly impacts our health, our survival, and how we're able to serve our community. You know, when Donnie touched on, he's spot on, 80% of the fire service is overweight or obese, and we're only going to change that. I know at LifeSkin, you know, we do a lot of work with our, you know, our exercise physiologist spends an hour with every firefighter coaching and working with them. But prevention and lifestyle change is a large part of that. So to have those resources in the firehouse really is how we're going to make that sustainable and make that culture, you know, change. So I know we're coming up here on just about 50 minutes in the podcast. So I want to be mindful of your time. And I know I can already tell we're going to have you invited back on for version 2.0, or Donnie's going to grab you to come on for his.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you up with an email about coming on the Get Balanced podcast.
I would love to. To piggyback one time on the chief, what the chief said was that, you know, these $1 million apparatus are only as good as what you put on them or put in them. And that's the people that are in them. Right. Because if nobody knows how to operate the stick on the truck, if nobody knows how to start the saw, the fire ground operation is going down quick. Right. And you're only as good as the food that you put in your body. And one of the things that we teach is how to read a food label, which we believe is the foundation of health and wellness. Right. All of us pay attention to the front label, but the most important label on this food that we eat is the back label. So we want you to be mindful of the serving sizes and your caloric intake and everything else that's on that back label. We want you to kind of start paying attention and be mindful of the things that you're putting in your body. One of the a rule of thumb for us is that if you can't pronounce the word, you probably shouldn't put it in your body. So dithexthal glyoramine, whatever that is, if it's on the back and it's in chicken, only thing that should be in chicken is chicken.
So if you can't spell it, absolutely.
Right. If you can't read it or spell it, you might want to put it back. So that's just my personal rule of thumb that I like to use. So it keeps me reading labels. It keeps me looking at things because I don't know how my body is going to break that down over the long haul. So that's cool for medication. I'm not opposed to medication, but I don't want any of that stuff in my food.
Yeah, spot on. And the goal, hopefully, is right to, as long as possible, not to have to be on medication.
Indeed.
So, a lot to be said. I mean, we've done a tremendous amount of work on early detection and what we do at LifeSkin. But the key is, if we can, to prevent these things, right? I mean, God forbid, if we get a cancer, we want to catch it early. If we have heart disease, we want to catch it the earliest stages. But the goal should be to prevent these. And as you said that at the beginning of the episode, let's prevent what is preventable, what we can control. So I want to thank you, Jonathan, for coming on. I want to remind all of our listeners, check out Dr. Donnie's Get Balanced website and his resources that are out there. He's doing tremendous work and workshops with departments all over the country. Please check out LifeScanWellnessCenters.com. And we're in 26 states now, on track to see 50,000 firefighters and first responders next year for their early detection physicals. And lastly, but not least, of course, check out Jonathan's Food on the Stove website and resource. Tremendous opportunity to take all the work and partnership and what he's built so special in DC and say, how do we bring that across the country? So make it a point to look at those resources, keep yourself safe, your department's healthy, and happy holidays, and looking forward to a great 2022 with friends and partners like the both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you all.
You're very welcome. It's lunchtime. Let's put away that cheeseburger and French fries and go eat something healthy. Right on.
I'm going to go take a walk.
You know, I'm doing the same.
Sounds great, everyone. Stay safe out there. Keep up the great work, Jonathan.
Thank you. Have a good one, Chief.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Don. Dr. Don.
You too. Thank you. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.